Welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 82. It is currently January 14th in the afternoon. My name is Kevin. I got Yanis over here. How you doing, bro?
What up?
Hey, you know what January 14th is, right?
What is it?
It's Manchester Derby Day, and we're going to talk about it later, but I am excited.
You made it seem like it was a traditional thing. Like, I thought you were talking about an actual holiday.
No, not a holiday, but it should be. After today's performance, it should be. But before we get into it, we got some sad news. This happened, I think, between last episode we recorded. But rest in peace, Pele, legend. I think during the World Cup, we kind of saw that his kind of condition was getting a little bit worse near the end of the World Cup. Unfortunately, we had the bad news afterwards. I mean, he's a legend. Whether you think he's the greatest of all time or not, he's one of the best. And I mean, Maradona and Pele, same year.
Actually, Maradona was earlier. I thought it was the same year too, but I apparently
mean,
it was
within the same year. I mean, I think Pele was right after New Year's, I think, maybe right before.
Yeah, Maradona. I think Maradona was actually 2020. According to what one of our boys told us.
No way.
He said 2020. I'll have to double check that. But yeah, it's a sad one. But I mean, like you said, during the World Cup, you could probably kind of tell.
It was 2020.
Yeah.
Thanks. It's been a couple of years.
Thanks, Nicholas. But yeah, he it was kind of sad. You saw it kind of coming with the World Cup news and stuff. It wasn't that much of a shock when it happened, but it's still like, because it's one of the legends of like the game, right?
Yep.
So I mean, he was essentially like the definition of Joga Bonito. That's he was like the original Joga Bonito in a sense. Like all those commercials that we've seen, like those the Brazilian national team and whatnot, like that was all him. Like all the moves, especially I think one of my favorite tributes that I saw was like a video with like all the key moves that we've seen in like the game over time, like the step overs, La Croqueta, like the cross turn and stuff. Like he did all of them initially. So it was like even the roulette, like, everything came from him, it felt like. So it was I thought it was a beautiful tribute. There's been a lot of beautiful tributes all around the world about for him. For obvious reasons, he is the original. I mean, he was probably the greatest of all time. I don't really want to have a discussion
of all time.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's not even a point of a discussion. The thing, you can't really discuss that with him. Like, Pele, like, you got to put Pele, like, up top of everything. Obviously, it's not our generation, so we don't know, like, we don't really know his greatness. We've only seen it through video. It kind of makes me want to do more research on him, to be honest. But we just got to recognize the greatness. And that's all really we can do. Just recognize and appreciate the greatness and, yeah, man, giving a proper tribute, and yeah, rest in peace to Pele, and also to the family. And yeah.
On a side note, a little bit more maybe cheerful. If we're talking about rest in peace to the greatness, are we saying rest in peace to the greatness of Cristiano Ronaldo's career?
I don't know if we say great. He takes the money move
to Saudi Arabia after he said in an interview like 2 years ago that he wouldn't, because it's not about the money for him. He said if it was about the money, I'd go to Saudi Arabia. Fast forward 2 years later, man's in Saudi Arabia. He gets the bag.
The Piers Morgan interview?
Yeah, the Piers Morgan interview.
That was 2 months ago. I don't think that was 2 years ago. What's with you in the 2 years?
Yeah, I don't know why I keep messing up my timelines. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Because I mean, I think this was kind of a shock. I mean, I feel like Ronaldo's kind of like his whole like kind of image has been kind of spiraling downwards in the last like couple months in the lead up to the World Cup. You know, the whole drama with United, and then you know during the World Cup he gets benched. They play well, they get eliminated. Messi wins the World Cup. It's kind of like just the juxtaposition there. After that, like you know, he's not with United. The team is doing extremely well without him, and then he does the interview with Piers Morgan, like kind of makes himself look like a little bit like not in the best of light. and then he gets the money moved to Al Nassr, and I mean, yeah, he's gonna be playing. Like, we thought MLS, maybe we thought maybe Portugal, like back at Sporting or something. But he takes
Napoli.
Yeah, like somewhere to compete in Europe. You know, he's always said that he's played in the biggest stages and he still wants to win and stuff like that. But like now, I think he's just like, you know, you go there and it's basically you're just conceding that you're not playing any like relevant football anymore, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a good way to the good way to look at this. I thought it was gonna be Inter Miami or somewhere in MLS, just because of how
Inter Miami.
Yeah, like. Financially, it might have been the biggest move, like on the pitch. But if you think about, like, obviously Ronaldo is more than just a player right now; he's a business and everything. So I feel like the U.S. seems like the logical destination for that, because there's so many business ventures that you can do outside of just like playing. And knowing him, especially in the city like Miami, like he would have, I think it would have been great for him. Or even L.A. I think maybe L.A. would have been better.
L.A. Or New York or something.
Yeah. Essentially, like the American market would have been like way like easier for him to like get succeed in. I don't think it would have been a problem. The Al Nassr move is kind of odd. I mean, if it wasn't for those figures, I don't think he goes there. But it is what it is. Like, if you're gonna get a bag, you might as well get. If you're gonna get one last bag, you might as well get the biggest one ever. Even though, from a non-Nassr
perspective, he doesn't need the money. That's the thing.
He doesn't need it.
Well, this move is kind of just kind of like makes you scratch your head a little bit. It kind of just feels like defeat. Feels like it's a defeat. You know,
that conceding that Messi's
gonna be playing at PSG. He's gonna win the league. He's gonna win He might win the Champions League this year. He's gonna win the Ballon d'Or this year. And Ronaldo's gonna be playing in Al Nassr and not even gonna be in contention for anything. So. It kind of just feels like he's conceded defeat in that whole debate. I'm sure he won't say that. But, I mean, it just felt weird. Just felt everything around him has felt weird lately. Like, he's kind of, like, developed his attitude has gotten more, let's say, quote-unquote exposed. Like, it's been in the limelight a little bit more. His family has kind of made comments. Everybody's kind of like, every time somebody doesn't do what he wants, we hear backlash about, like, oh, they don't know what they're talking about, the disrespect. Ronaldo has done everything. I can't believe you guys are doing this to him, whatever. But then whoever is, like, being accused ends up being better off for it. Just goes and embarrasses himself again somehow. Like, it's kind of confusing a little bit, to be honest. A lot of drama. But, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of weird. What are your thoughts in general? Like, is it weird? Or is it just me kind of reading into it a little bit?
No, I think, I mean, it's not just you. There's a lot of people that are, like, on the fence. Kind of some people think it's an odd move. Some people say that it's a money move. I think, ultimately, it's an acceptance that maybe he wasn't going to get any move in Europe. And that maybe his time at the top was coming to an end. And I feel like for a high-level athlete, it's a hard thing to accept.
Mm-hmm.
We could name
how many... a big game.
Yeah. I mean, he does because he has to. I think it's kind of in his DNA, like the competitive edge that he has, and I think it's hard to accept that like you're not who you used to be. Mm-hmm. We've seen. I mean, we can name so many athletes where like they've slowed down, but you can't really. They still try to go stay at the top, and like your body can only do so much, right? The mind is like at your top, but your body can't really follow. You could tell that he was definitely getting slower. Even though last year he had a great year with United, this year kind of didn't go so well.
He had a great year scoring goals, but the whole team paid for it because we weren't playing the style of football that we needed to be in contention for games overall. It was kind of just like we were hoping on individual plays to score goals. That's it.
But we could argue that your season would have been much worse if it wasn't for him like doing what he did. Like he I mean, did.
It depends
get
who the manager
goals.
Is, right?
Yeah, at the time, yes, the manager kind of played a part into it, but I'm just saying, yes, overall, like, even if you look at his World Cup, like, he didn't really do so much of the World Cup himself. I think he had one PK goal, and that was really it. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to go to Al Nassr. I guess there's going to be some eyes on the Saudi league now, probably just for his team. I will say, though, in the interview with Piers Morgan, he said that he was trying to compete in the Champions League. He didn't say which one. And if I'm correct, I don't know if they play in the AFC Champions League, in the Asian Champions League, but if they do, then I think it's fine if he can somewhat try to get that one, even though it won't be easy.
But they're also so sketched, too. Did you see them, like, on their social media feeds? They put, like, this many amount of champions or whatever. It's, like, not even real. It's not even true.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they What's up with that? I don't know. I mean, they've got a, like, I think in a couple of days they got, like, 5 million followers just off the signing. So, I think it's
I think they doubled their followers or something.
Yeah. Like, from a marketing perspective, getting Ronaldo, like, it's more than just, obviously, like, football, right? You're getting him for the views. You're getting him for, I guess, a good look on the league itself, because nobody really knew the Saudi league. I think we're impressed by the Saudis in the first game against Argentina, but after that, like, nobody really didn't really talk about them that much. So now there's gonna be eyes on the league itself. I kind of feel bad because Abubakar got released. Abubakar, who was Cameroon's, I guess, striker and probably Africa's best striker at the World Cup, got released like at the same time as Ronaldo got signed. They're in the same team, yeah. I mean, they were going to play together, but obviously I think they need to make space for Ronaldo, so they released Abubakar, who I think he'll get a move in Europe eventually. Pretty sure he did pretty decent at the World Cup. Abubakar?
Yeah. Is he young?
I think he's like mid early 30s.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like he's not he's
young.
Not
I meant like maybe early 30s.
Yeah. I think he's a little younger than Ronaldo, but like he's in early 30s. I think. And enough, he'll find a club. But it is like funny that. I mean, plus like he had a better World Cup than Ronaldo overall. Like he did his more thing with Cameroon than Ronaldo did with Portugal. But
because Ronaldo didn't play as much.
Yeah. But it's the Ronaldo rule. But whenever it happens, like things are gonna change.
Well, let's talk about that. Like, I mean, you know, we're talking about teams where they become a little bit better when Ronaldo leaves, right? We saw Portugal have their best performance of the tournament when Ronaldo didn't play the first that game.
Yeah.
United, you know, the whole drama started because Ronaldo wasn't starting games. The new manager Ten Hag didn't like the way the team was playing with Ronaldo. Didn't really fit the scheme he wants to implement. So he starts benching him. And, you know, we hear Ronaldo getting the attitude, but United are starting to win games, right? So, yeah. I mean, I guess I don't think it's a debate anymore that we say United's better off without Ronaldo, right?
Yes, I think in the debate of whether United and Ten Hag, like, was the better influence for United, whether Ronaldo or Ten Hag was the better influence for United, like, obviously going with Ten Hag made the most sense. And it looks like it's going well. I mean,
after today's performance in the derby, like, I don't know how you can't be excited. We're on a win streak. Rashford's in the form of his life. I think that's the most important thing, right? Like, our key players are the ones that's performing. And this team is playing this way. Like, Sancho's not even playing, you know? And he's supposed to be one of our best players.
I was going to ask about him.
Prolific players. Like, but everybody's getting... It's like we're finally seeing the system being put to use. And all the cogs in the system are working, like, super fluidly. And getting the most out of each other. Like, Fred has been playing some of his best football. Juan Bissaka has been playing some of his best football. And he was, like, atrocious before.
You know, reaction.
We were complaining about Harry Maguire for the longest time. And Ten Hag's playing Luke Shaw, center back. And we're winning games against Man City. Our back four was Malacia, Luke Shaw at center back, Varane, and what's his name?
Juan Bissaka.
Juan Bissaka. And Dalot was even in even better form, and he's been injured. So it just goes to show, like, our midfield is. I mean, the midfield with Casemiro has been life changing. I don't think you can understate the impact he's had on this team, and it's like it's so evident too. Like him and Varane there too. Oof. I mean, it's just I'm getting excited talking about it, but. I mean, we're talking about players that we've complained about for so many years, and now we're like hyping them up because they're playing so well, you know?
I mean, even Garnacho.
I mean, Garnacho's the next wonder kid, right? It's like every year we get the new kid that's coming up the system. Really unfortunate what happened with Greenwood, obviously, but Garnacho has come in, and he's been like every time he comes onto the pitch, like you just see he's got that juice and like he's ready to create. It's like he's so young that he doesn't know what he needs to be afraid about, so he just doesn't care. And he just goes and he does what he wants to do, and that's how you're creating chances. He's like playing fearless, and you can tell. No hesitation.
For, I don't talk too much about the game, but that the first goal from Bruno is Rashford as it look, to me it looked like he was offside at first.
I mean, Rashford is offside, right? But he doesn't touch the ball. And then the question is, did he influence the play? But yeah. He was far enough from everybody that I think that's why the goal stood. Because I think Ake was running after him, or it might have been Akanji, and they weren't close to him.
I think it was Walker, actually.
No, it wasn't Walker. I'm pretty sure it was Walker.
Walker was close, too. That's why I feel like...
I think Walker was near Bruno. And then,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like he.
But Bruno wasn't offside.
Yeah, but if Rashford isn't there...
Rashford's not implementing Walker, because Walker's behind Bruno.
Wouldn't you say that because of Rashford's movement, that causes Walker to move a different way? Rather than going for Bruno, he goes to Rashford?
I mean, he's so far away, he doesn't get there anyways, right?
Mm.
Unless he outruns Bruno and then gets to Rashford. But which I think the only thing you
capable of doing.
I don't know if in that short distance there, if he's going to be able to do that. If he wanted to do that, he would have done that. He would have been at Rashford when the stuff happened, and he just wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, at that pace, like if you like switch the roles, and if it's Bruno instead of Rashford, then I understand. But like Bruno,
what happened? Like it looked like the defenders that were actually near the play stopped playing because they thought it was offside, and then yeah. Rashford didn't end up touching the ball, and Bruno. Scores the goal. So then the question is, like, did Rashford influence the play? I don't think he influenced the play, but he definitely influenced the decision-making of, like the other players should have kept playing. If they kept playing, the result probably doesn't happen, but they thought it was going to be offside, so they stopped running a little bit.
But doesn't that mean that he influenced the play? Because now because
no, but you got to play until the whistle. You got to play until the whistle, no? Like, you can't, just because you think it's going to be, imagine you think it's going to be a foul, so you're like, okay, it's a foul, and then you pick up the ball with your hands because you want to take the free kick, but the ref never called the free kick. Or, you know, and then, like, no, there was no free kick, you get a yellow card. It's the same thing. So you think it's going to be offside? What if Rashford wasn't even offside? Are we going to say it's not a goal because the City players thought it was going to be offside, so they stopped playing?
Well, if it's not offside, then it's on the City players. But the fact that he's there, and he's not trying to touch the ball, but he's so close to the ball that you can't ignore him.
But there was nobody close enough to him that it would have made a difference. That's the thing.
Mm.
And the people that could have been close enough, they didn't like play to get close enough.
Right.
So that's why it was called a goal, honestly, because we've seen that called no goal so many times. So that's got to be the reasoning. And they checked it after the game too, and they said the same thing. I mean, right. You're gonna see all the Man City fans or whatever the United haters are gonna say that shouldn't have been a goal or whatnot. But
yeah.
At the end of the day, it was a goal and they called it, and it was a good finish from Bruno, and to be there, especially in Rashford for not touching the ball too. Like you got to have the awareness at that point.
Can you imagine if Rashford has been playing like this like the entire year, like how you would have started the World Cup and like how different yep. England could
be. He's been like this. That's the thing. He's been playing like this. He started hot before the World Cup, was hot at the World Cup, didn't get played, and then he comes back from the World Cup and he's still playing like this. So we're not gonna get onto that, but Southgate fumbled the ball.
Fumbled the ball. Anyways, I like what I'm seeing from United right now. I still think they're not beating Arsenal, but even though they already have. But
I mean, it's tough to see who's gonna beat Arsenal, right? You guys are top of the table. You have a couple games in hand too. But I think the title race is kind of narrowed down to Arsenal, City, and United. I don't see anybody else being able to catch up. Liverpool and Chelsea are far gone. They're not doing anything.
Yeah, especially Chelsea.
I'm not seeing Spurs make a title push.
Spurs is a possibility, but three, like that. Outside of Spurs, Chelsea, and Liverpool, maybe Spurs, but I don't see Chelsea.
Spurs are well ahead of Chelsea and Liverpool. Chelsea and Liverpool are 9th and 10th at the table right now. Liverpool just lost to Brighton 3-0 today.
Smacked.
Right? Smacked. It wasn't close. Newcastle are playing Newcastle are in the top four. They're playing some of the best defensive football we've seen all year. They're such a solid team. It's like they go into every game knowing that they're not going to concede pretty much. I mean, Fulham have been scoring a lot of goals.
Fulham is a surprise too, by the way.
Yeah, big surprise. Fulham, Brighton, Brentford, like all these teams are above Liverpool and Chelsea, and deservedly so because they're playing really well. But I don't see these teams as title challengers, right? I think the title challengers is Arsenal, Man City, United at this point in the season.
Yeah,
we're halfway through the season at this point, so That's what it's looking like. It's gonna be.
We gotta get that Spurs game tomorrow. It's gonna be massive.
I'm a little worried for Arsenal. I will say, I feel like the adversity has been like not low. Like you guys have definitely played really well, but I feel for some reason it kind of just feels like it's like hanging on by a thread for some reason. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Sort of. I mean, the games are still very close. I think one thing that could help is, I mean, we're gonna talk about it later, is like improving our depth.
You guys haven't played City yet, right?
We haven't played City.
You haven't played City yet.
That's on February 15, I think.
You played Liverpool, but Liverpool are ass. You played United. You lost against United when United was bad.
It's our only loss of the season.
But you guys are really, really playing well against a team that you should beat.
Yeah.
Right? But no, it kind of feels like the results. Yeah, exactly, which is great. And to win the title, you need to beat the teams that you need to beat. That's always how it happens. Like United for a couple of years have like beat the strong teams and lost against the weak teams. We always end up on the fringe top four because those points that you need are pretty much free points, you know? Like, but it kind of feels like you guys have had like quote unquote an easier run of schedule. And like every time you've played a team that's like been good, it's been a close result. Like Newcastle, nil-nil.
You can't control the strength of schedule.
No, definitely not. But that's why I'm saying I'm a little bit like more hesitant going into the second half of the season. That you're gonna face a little bit more adversity, and we're gonna see like how Arsenal deal with that. Because you haven't played City yet. You played United. You lost against United. You played Newcastle. You drew against Newcastle.
Yeah, but okay, that point about the strength of schedule, like if you think about it too, like everybody's playing each other twice, right? And
yeah,
because of the World Cup, obviously things got rescheduled. We're gonna play City, and that's gonna be a very That was gonna be a big defining factor as to whether or not like going all the way. I think we're going all the way regardless. And City isn't.
You play United after Spurs, so
yeah, it's a tough few games. Like I'm excited for that United game too, but at the same time, like City isn't as big as it. Well, I mean, it is City. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
it's your biggest threat for the title, right?
Yeah,
like everybody.
Title, yeah.
We're talking about your biggest threat. City's gonna be United, so.
Remember, they lost to Southampton too, like the same week. Southampton.
It's not the City of old where they're invincible going through the game, the season when you every game they're favored to win like 3-0. But they are tough competition. Yeah, and Haaland can score at any moment unless he's playing against Luke Shaw. In that case, Luke Shaw will pocket him.
That's a mismatch. It's not a mismatch.
Could you imagine? That's a mismatch.
It's a mismatch.
Yeah.
Ferran, I understand, but Luke Shaw? I mean, Luke Shaw has been playing like Puyol out there.
Yes. But, I mean, do you think which of these, like, fringe, I mean, I feel like the top three is kind of settled, right? Would you agree? The top three is kind of like the order may change, but it feels like it's going to be these three clubs?
Yeah. Maybe Newcastle could say something about that, but I think.
I was going to say, so fourth and fifth place, right? You're going to have probably, like, five or six teams fighting for that for fourth and fifth place. I mean, that's a pretty big title challenge, like in itself, like for those spots. Like, Newcastle are going to be a shoe-in. Spurs are going to be competitive. I mean, Liverpool and Chelsea, you have to expect that they're going to pick it up at some point, right?
Yes.
And then you have like teams like Brentford, Brighton, Fulham that are going to continue to play well. So, and those are all teams that are like competitive that could fight for those fourth and fifth spots.
Brentford, easy game, easy win against Bournemouth today.
Would you put money on Chelsea or Liverpool finishing in the top five?
I would not do that.
Yeah.
I haven't been convinced by Liverpool. I think Liverpool has a lot of issues. I think Chelsea just doesn't know. It doesn't feel like it's a Graham Potter team yet. I feel like he hasn't.
They already want to sack him.
That's not going to happen. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, they shouldn't.
Shouldn't. That would be silly.
Man came in, no transfer window. The team's in shambles. They have like their whole lineup is injured, and people are talking about sacking him.
I mean, they did get some players. I mean, they got Felix, which was like the right signing to make. It was an interesting signing, and if it wasn't for that red card, he would have had a decent debut. Defensively, they got Badiashile from Monaco. I don't really know why. I mean, they do need the depth in defense, but.
They have a full starting 11 that's injured, dude.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Think about it. Now they might even go. They might try to get Mudryk off of Arsenal, which I don't. I mean, the way that Chelsea is right now, they need Mudryk more than us. But I'd still feel like I thought that was the done deal at one point. Like people were talking about how he's already an Arsenal player. We've seen his social media.
Yeah, same. Like I saw pictures of him with holding an Arsenal jersey.
I genuinely think, like I told you before we started, like the club, Chelsea has an agreement with Shakhtar, but Arsenal has an agreement with Mudryk, and it's harder to get the player wants before you. It's hard to get the
usually player. What the player wants is what happens usually.
Yeah.
Because the player won't go somewhere they don't want to go.
The player wants and what the club wants might be two different things.
So maybe Chelsea are just going to basically force Arsenal to pay a little bit more.
Which
that might be what happens.
At this point, if we have the money, I think we're talking about 70 mil, but plus like incentives, do it. If that's a push for the title, if that can give you a push for the title that you need, do it.
I don't know much about this player. What's his quality like?
He's a winger, good on 1v1, very very fast, very rapid, like pacey. He basically carried Shakhtar throughout the entire Champions League. It wasn't enough, obviously, but he's been promising for a while. I've seen a couple of clips of him in the past, but it was mostly like some skill stuff off of like Instagram and whatnot. But I didn't know like how serious of a player he was. And then I saw him in the youth league with Shakhtar. Then there was a few good moments, and then I eventually got to the first team, and I was like, okay, yeah, he's about that. And I think he's already in the national team set up for Ukraine for a while now. This year was probably his best, his coming out year. Like he showed up a lot in those Champions League games, especially against Leipzig. And that might have been his best game. He's definitely promising. And I do think that he's worth the risk. I think he's worth the risk. If that can give you the title, he is worth it.
Do you think Arsenal will make it happen or what? Let's talk transfers because we've seen Yao Felix to Chelsea. I think that's. How do you feel about that? Like we didn't end up talking about it.
I like it.
It's so weird for Yao Felix. I don't know. I want to see. I mean,
he was gonna leave though.
For sure, but like, did he sign an extension with Atletico before going on loan?
That's he did just it because weird. I don't know. He did it because Simeone said he was gonna leave.
And he said, "Okay, I'll play if Simeone is not there anymore."
Yes, or it's also like. Maybe Chelsea will have to come for a fee with him after because now they can't just sign him. He was a free agent in the summer. Now they would have to pay a fee for Felix, which is weird because if you wanted Felix in the first place, why not just pay for him right now?
I don't know. Something is off with that. But yeah. I mean, United get Weghorst. I think that's equivalent of like a what's his name?
Crouch.
No, I was gonna talk about when we signed what's his name? Oh my Igalo? God, I'm blanking. Yes, Igalo, on loan. Basically kinda like the same thing. I mean Dutch. Most so he's gonna
random signing ever.
Igalo or Weghorst?
Yeah. Well I'm Igalo.
I mean we were desperate for a striker. We needed somebody, right? So it was like the only person that was kinda like available.
Yes.
But I mean I'm happy that we get depth. I don't think we're going to make another signing in the January window. But we haven't really heard many like rumors and stuff, right? Like happening.
Yeah.
Besides the Trossard drama where like the coach hates him now, like his attitude problem and he's getting benched. And he was like one of their biggest bright spots to start the season too.
Would you consider that? I thought about that too. Like it's if you're not going to get Mudryk or I mean, if you're not getting anybody else, like
I would get a move. I don't know if it's going to happen though. He's going to get benched. I mean, he's already benched, right? He's not playing.
Not even on the squad. He wasn't.
I remember because he was on my FPL team to start the season because he was really hot. And then,
yeah.
I mean, now he's not even playing. So
I think he's going to get, I don't know who. I don't know who because it could go either way. I think it depends on who gets, like, depends on who moves first. Like, if Mudryk gets the move to either Chelsea or Arsenal, then eventually Trossard might go the other way if anybody's really actually interested in him.
If you guys don't get Mudryk, do you think you get somebody else or no?
I think if we don't get Mudryk...
I'm not hearing any rumors right now.
I think because we're still focused on Mudryk and like getting that done.
Yeah.
But if for some reason Chelsea somehow managed to get him, which it seems like it might happen, then I would probably consider Trossard. If like obviously if you have to make your assessment of like what the attitude problem was and everything.
Yeah, I don't know
that he doesn't become a problem for the club, but
I don't think he even moves in January because of that. I feel like it's just such a iffy situation that clubs are just not interested in trying.
He's not gonna stay. He's not gonna stay like not playing for 6 months.
I know. I don't know. It's tough.
I think depending on how the Mudryk situation goes, he's becoming a key option now, and he's actually a pretty good player. He has prem experience, probably Belgium's best player right now, considering how bad the team is. Yeah, I would consider him honestly.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's a good player. It's kind of like the off the field stuff that's the issue, right?
Yeah.
I guess we'll see what happens there. Do you think Arsenal need a move in January to kind of cement the title push? If you don't, will you be worried or what?
I wouldn't be worried, but I think it would be a mistake for us not to maximize on our chance, because you don't get a chance to win the league every year.
No.
And especially because you've had such a good start of the season.
Especially a year where Chelsea and Liverpool are not competitive.
Yeah, but also like you've done the right things. You've got the right players already. You've done the good signings. Why not add one more just to push?
Most definitely. Because
obviously, if we don't want to get to February, this is when the big games happen. February, March, injuries are going to pile up eventually. And you don't want to get caught with like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Nketiah has gone very well since he's been the starter, but you don't want to lose another player kind of like the way you lost Jesus essentially. Like, what if Martinelli of like Odegaard goes down?
You're essentially then you're in a big trouble.
Which is why, like,
and they've been like so good.
They've been essential for their teams. Imagine Saka as well. Like,
Saka's like banged up right now.
Yeah,
Saka's banged up right now.
We have enough depth defensively. I think offensively is where we obviously need to reinforce ourselves.
Yep. It's gonna be interesting to see if any big moves happen in January. I feel like this January we're not really hearing about. I mean, big moves don't usually happen in January, but there's always kind of like those one or two big names that kind of like get thrown around. Maybe this time it was Yao Felix.
There's that one. Malinowski went from Atalanta to Marseille, and obviously me being a Marseille guy, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know much about him, but he's like he's one of the best like left foot shots that I've seen ever. He's a left footed genius. But Marseille got a good one. I don't know any outside of the Felix one. I think you're right. There's not that many. There wasn't that many big.
Obviously, there's no big names. Kind of.
So far, Felix is the biggest one.
I think for the summer we're gonna see a couple of big guys probably move though.
Agreed.
Who's the Argentinian midfielder?
The Fernandez. He was supposed to go to Chelsea, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, he's gonna go somewhere for a lot of money. I think Benfica want like a lot.
They want 120.
Yeah, they want close to 100, which I don't know if he's gonna go for. But
bro, they got.
We kind of seen transfer fees go down a little bit.
They're able to get Felix to 120 to Atletico. They're gonna find a way to get 100 for Fernandes. Somebody's gonna pay 100 for him, or at least close to 100, which is definitely overpaying. But he's good enough.
Yes, I mean
he's worth the investment.
Did you see the rumors that Harry Maguire was gonna go to Aston Villa?
I didn't see that. Is that true?
It was just rumors. Apparently, Villa wanted him or something. But I think we need him at United as like a good third or fourth. Right now, we're playing Luke Shaw center back, right? Like,
you need
Sandro still coming back from the World Cup. You know, getting fit. Varane's a staple, but Varane has an injury history. I mean, Lindelof's always available, but yeah.
I'm not going to lie, the Sancho absence is kind of worrying.
He's been working on himself, kind of clearing his head. But I think he's back training with the club now. Don't quote me, but I think he's back training with the club. But I'm confident that Ten Hag will bring him back in the club at the right time, in the right way. Van de Beek's out for the season, though.
I saw that.
Too much. But that's another depth piece, kind of like player off the bench that you can't really have anymore at United.
Maybe you do guess. Maybe you guys get a midfielder after all.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, listen, United have always been linked with like a Milinkovic-Savic or type of player, but
Rabiot.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't take Rabiot. I would take Savic, but
I would take Rabiot. Honestly, Savic has been so quiet lately.
He should have gotten a move like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
But he's like very Koulibaly. Low in Lazio. Kind of like Koulibaly.
Yeah. And now Koulibaly is way past it. But...
Yeah, it's hard to get a move from Serie A, man.
Yeah, for some reason. And the playstyle doesn't always adapt well to the Prem, especially. It's very surprising.
Well, when Kvaratskhelia moves from Napoli, we'll see how much he's for, because if they're going to sell Mudryk for like 100 or even Fernandes for 100, and Kvaratskhelia is going to go for like 150 the way that he's playing.
It's crazy, these price tags. And after COVID, all the price tags kind of got back down to quote unquote normal. Like, you weren't going to see a Harry Maguire type of player go for 100 again. But I guess now these young players, they have so much potential that price goes up.
Imagine if young Gareth Bale was like being transferred right now.
I mean, he'd be going for like 200. He'd break the bank like a Neymar.
Gareth Bale retirement, what do we think?
I mean, he's had quite the career, man. He's been kind of like hated in the fans for some reason. Madrid, we know how the Madrid fans are. Kind of like a love-hate relationship there. I mean, he's won them Champions League single-handedly almost at some point. You know, he's had a couple super clutch goals. But I mean, he goes to the MLS.
You consider where he started, like from a left back to Southampton.
I mean, yeah, he's had a great career. He's won so much. Yeah.
He's won so much. He's done a lot. I feel like he's probably Welsh's best, greatest player ever.
Most definitely. It's not even close.
I don't know. In terms of like British players, obviously he has to compete with the one in England. And I think he's probably top 10 ever in the British players. If you think about the career that he's had and like the accomplishment that he's had.
Probably.
There's not that many players that I could see. Like, he's definitely above Beckham.
That's a close one. I don't know.
Beckham is a close one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're
think
a fan.
He's better than Beckham?
I'm hitting a tough spot here, but be real. Telling me that Beckham had a better career than Gareth Bale.
I mean, didn't David Beckham... I mean, Beckham won it all. He, like... They got movies made of him.
So, movies? What about movies? We don't care about movies.
I mean, they named, like, I don't know.
I could argue Gareth Bale is a better free kick taker than Beckham.
Well, I don't know about that.
Bro. Remember at Spurs?
Beckham, like, carried England in the World Cup. He was running up for the Ballon d'Or, like...
Okay, how many World Cups did he carry England for?
I mean, one.
How many tournaments did Gareth Bale carry Wales?
I mean, it's different teams, different... Oh my god.
Bro, you're seriously making the argument that Beckham is
happy. No, I just got a notification. You're not going to be happy.
Well, from who? Fabrizio?
Mudrik to Chelsea. Fabrizio, here we go. Here we go.
Is it official?
We got the here we go from Fabrizio.
Is it official?
I think it's official.
Ain't no freaking way, bro.
Deal will cost $100 million package as Ukrainian club always wanted.
Ugh.
Mudryk to Chelsea. Documents are being exchanged.
Bro.
Oh man, yeah, Arsenal really fans in the mud.
Yo. All this hype.
I'm so glad we got that in before the end of the episode, because we just talked about that.
Damn, bro.
Dang, yo, Chelsea really just came in and hijacked that.
There's no chance
Arsenal paying anywhere close to 100 mil, though. There's just no way.
That's not the first time, too. Chelsea is hijacking every deal. For them to actually make it happen. So, because it was like 2 days. We weren't even in the deal for this long, and they made it happen.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not a good look on Arsenal. Anyway, yeah, Bale over Beckham any time of the day. Like, you can't even make that
argument. I think Beckham over Bale. But
you would take Beckham over Bale.
Yes, we're gonna have to agree to disagree on this one because I don't think we're gonna change each other's mind.
If you could like put aside your bias, because I know you're a Beckham fan.
I think Bale's game is probably more. I think Bale's game is more probably more complete, but Beckham just has like, he's got that it factor. He's got he has like
what it factor
do so much, you know. I don't know. We're not gonna talk about this.
What it factor does Beckham have?
Beckham's passing, his playmaking, his crossing, his long balls. One of the best long ball players we've ever seen. They have different games. Bales was a scorer. Beckham was a passer.
Okay, they're not the same type of player. But I'm saying, like, if you compare career to career, right? You're gonna tell me that
Beckham changed the game. He went from United to Madrid, one of the biggest transfers ever, Galacticos. He was hailed by the Madrid fans.
What did Bale do? Exact same thing.
But then he got benched.
After three Champions Leagues.
Listen, I love Gareth Bale. He's amazing. I mean, David Beckham.
Even MLS, Bale's in MLS too. He has an MLS cup.
Beckham changed the game with the MLS. Beckham was an icon.
We're definitely having this argument offline.
Listen, I know you're later. Upset that Chelsea stole your transfer, but we got to move on from this one. I think it's time to wrap it up.
Maybe I'm a little pissed off. Roberto Martinez, new Portugal coach, is that a fumble or is that a good move?
It's a fumble. He sucks. He should not be in control of any top tier international team or club team. I think Portugal will regret this. Yeah, he messed up with Belgium. I mean, he messed up with Belgium. He messed up with Everton. Like he's
To be fair, that's Everton.
He never gets the most out of his players. So I don't like him. I don't think he's a good manager.
I think
Portugal are going to regret this.
I think we'll have to see. It's an interesting one. I didn't expect that. I thought there were better options, but that's interesting. I don't want to say it's gonna be a fumble, but if he doesn't win something with them, then yeah, probably it might be. If he doesn't go like semifinals or the World Cup or Euros,
he's getting sacked after the first tournament.
He's getting sacked after the tournament. Bro, it depends how far they go in the tournaments. If they can get to like the semis, then I think he should be safe. But if they don't even make it to the quarters, then
Or if they have a bad performance in the quarters, I think it's done. We'll see.
I don't even think it depends. He might not even bring Ronaldo back. I don't think he would dare to do that though.
Man, and Chelsea are also getting Nkunku.
Already have, bro. Do you know the amount of players they're getting? How's that gonna work?
Didn't they just get Fofana as well?
But he's a striker and he's like kind of unknown, right? If you look at the attacking midfielders, Havertz, Pulisic, Nkunku, Modric,
Felix, Fana, Sterling,
they're all in the same area.
Yeah. Yao Felix.
Mount. Like I didn't even say Mount. That's
Aubameyang.
Bro, Aubameyang wants to leave too, bro. He said he wants out.
I think he's only eligible to play at Chelsea and Arsenal, I think. I saw something somewhere like that. In the Champions League or anything, something like that, I think.
Yeah, because I think you can't play... If you play three clubs in the same year, you can't play Champions League. You can't do three clubs in the same year. It's got to be two max. You can't do three.
Oba's a funny guy. I think he's done.
Yeah. Maybe Montreal?
We could take Oba.
I wouldn't mind Oba at Montreal. That wouldn't be a bad move. Be interesting. We're not gonna talk about the Legret Zidane thing because there's still a lot to be said about that yet.
Yeah, maybe next episode.
All I would say is don't mess with Zidane or else you're gonna get sacked. But that's all we'll say. Who's the next French captain though? Because Lloris did retire.
It's either Varane or like it or not, Mbappe maybe. He's too young.
I think. I mean, he's too young, but like I'm pretty sure we've seen younger captain. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Jude Bellingham was England's next captain.
No, but it's different because Mbappe led the team to back-to-back World Cups.
Yeah,
and when you say led the team, like he led the team in scoring, like he's doing a lot of stuff. Like he single-handedly almost won the final for them.
I think for Mbappe's sake, it's best if he doesn't get the armband yet. He's going to get it, but not now. I think Varane is the most logical option. And there really only is one option. I don't think Griezmann might be second, but it's like if Varane says no, which I don't think he will say no. I don't think you can say no to that, really.
I think Varane will be the captain.
Yeah, Varane's got to be captain. Imagine if Mbappe carries PSG, gets the PSG contract, World Cup, Patrick, and then you become the captain, bro. It's a lot too. That's too much too early. Gotta be steps.
All right.
Gotta be steps.
Time to wrap it up. Episode 82 in the books.
All right. Oh, Super Bowl. Okay, do you want to say your Super Bowl picks now, or do you want to say later?
We'll go through them all later, but I got the Chiefs beating the Niners in the Super Bowl final.
Well, so Chiefs Niners again, eh?
Chiefs Niners, I got Chiefs winning.
Okay. See you.
What about you? I'm going to make you make your bracket after this, eh?
Yes, I won't forget. I have Niners-Bills.
Niners-Bills, who you got winning?
Bills.
Damn, Josh Allen gets his Super Bowl.
Bills are going to do it, bro. Doing it this year.
I mean, they should destroy Miami this weekend because Miami, they don't even got Tua. They got a rookie third-string quarterback playing, so it's a wash.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
You think the Giants are winning? You think the Giants are beating the Vikings?
Oh, no. Not the Vikings. No? Bro, hey, who's going to cover Jefferson?
Everybody's picking the Giants.
That's because they would no. I wouldn't bet against
the Giants. The Giants are more well coached. The Vikings look like vulnerable. They don't look convincing. Like they'll win 1 week by like 3 points, and the next week they lose by 40. So, I don't know.
Maybe is the game in Minnesota?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, yeah, we got it. I think Minnesota got it.
All right, I guess we'll see. All right, time to wrap it up. Episode 82 in the books. Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on our socials, @forward_pressing, @forwardpresspod, Twitter, Instagram, maybe soon TikTok. We'll see. Maybe we'll start uploading to YouTube.
That's in the works. We're working on that.
If you made it this far, really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Hope to see you next episode. And hope you guys have a good week. Good morning, good night, whenever you're listening to this. And peace.